have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Jay Cranda. Jay, welcome to today's podcast.
Dude, I'm pumped. I feel like, Nils, we have to step up our video game because we just launched our Apple TV app in the TV app store. And I feel like now people are going to realize that the video experience, we have to just up our game. Don't you feel pressure now that we got to like make sure we have the right lighting and everything?
I do feel a little pressure. I set up a little backdrop today. Went to the next level. I kind of prop my computer because now that we know, we've got a new audience on TV. I mean, that's kind of crazy to think.
Yeah.
We're literally on TV and have a TV app. And we, I think we just talked about it a week ago. And Today we have a TV app.
Yeah.
And so that's the world that we live in. And that's the podcast that we now get to do. We're in people's cars. We're in people's living rooms. We're in people's offices. Anywhere and everywhere, we get to broadcast and take this conversation further, faster. And it's a huge opportunity for churches. So we're having so much fun with TV app. New churches every day are signing up, and we're kind of getting these things off the ground and new developments. I mean, I feel like I get a text from our developer every day of, hey, check this out. We've got YouTube Live now. We got it's crazy, the functions. And I say that I'm not making an announcement that we have YouTube Live yet, but that's one of the developments that he's close to and we weren't expecting. And so we just keep finding new opportunities to develop further, and it's really getting exciting.
Yeah, and I would just say, we are not in any type of official launch yet or anything like that. So, but we would love anybody listening or watching, go visit tvapp.church and just kind of give us any feedback. We would love feedback on language and stuff. This is something that is for the church, and we're getting ready to have a larger announcement, but check out our TV app on the TV apps, the Apple TV store. Just type in Social Media Church. You type in Jay Cranda or Nils Smith, and it will pop up. So, anyways, the real topic of discussion, politics.
Let's get to politics. Let's actually answer a couple questions. We have Eduardo joining us live, and so I want to answer his questions. Maybe his first question. Then we'll get to politics, and then I have one other announcement even before we get to his question. And he's talking about basically how do you record and share sermons, and so I think that kind of fits in what we're talking about TV apps. I think is also connected to that. Have an announcement to share from a friend of mine with Splice. If you're familiar with Splice, the video editing app is the number one video editing app for the iPhone outside of iMovie. And Splice is actually owned by parent company Vimery. They were officially announced this week, acquired by GoPro. And so that's a huge announcement for them, just an unbelievable honor for them. Fun for me as a friend to be a part of them. We're actually a consulting client as well. So kind of fun to really get to be a part of that whole process. I got my first GoPro. I've never actually had a GoPro before. I played with them a little bit. But I think and I've encouraged a lot of churches to use Splice in the past, is always asking, how do we create videos? How do we edit videos? We don't have a fancy HD camera like Saddleback. They got everything. They got video editors. They got cameras. They got studios. Most churches, they have an iPhone. This is their number one form of video. Or they, I guess some of them might have even have Android phones, but we won't really talk about those churches. Most people. But if all you have is a mobile device, and Splice actually is only an iPhone video editing app right now. But it's hard to make, or perceived to be hard to make, high quality videos without a lot of equipment. But I will say that you now can record great videos with your iPhone with a simple $20 plug-in lapel microphone. You can get good audio with a simple video editing app with like Splice on your phone. You can actually edit it. You can put in bumper videos. You can do everything on your device, and then you can push it right out to YouTube or Vimeo or whatever the platform is. It's become so much easier. You can actually live stream now through Periscope or Facebook Live.
Yeah.
There's going to be more and more opportunities to then just push content out. So anyways, it's exciting for Splice, exciting for GoPro and I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities. GoPro takes your video to another level that I think you'll be able to live stream. And then you just take those same videos. So like TV app, we just integrate with Vimeo and we're going to integrate with other live streaming providers. So as you have those systems in place, you'll just be able to connect it to the TV. So then you'll be mobile compatible. You'll be streaming to computers. You can use the church online platform or media social and have an online church platform at no cost or a minimal cost. And you can have a TV app, you know, same thing. So you just built, you know, and then podcasting is another platform. We use Libsyn. So as you look to distribute platform, just go one step at a time. I wouldn't say there's one good all-in-one solution. You kind of piece together, but you build some foundational pieces and you grow from there. So I hope that helps answer your question, Eduardo. I wouldn't say that there's just one stop shop.
Yeah.
But do what you can, start recording, start editing, start distributing, and then you'll find the right platforms to distribute. The truth is those platforms are constantly going to be changing.
Yeah.
And if they're not changing, you need to find a new one because they have to be changing because the technology is always changing.
Yeah. And I would just add to that it's part of that is messing around, doing native content for each platform. And those are the tricks that you have to figure out. And that's investment. And part of it, God will bless where your audience is. So I was at a, I think I mentioned this last week that I was at a North American board church planting kind of gathering, in my area. And I was talking about Facebook boosting and how you can use some of these tools to, you know, grow your church or get it off the ground and, or inform where you can plant a church. And I remember this young guy came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I was talking to them about how they should think about church online as a way to start a church before you actually start the church to test your content out and then do some A and B testing with language and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And he told me, this guy who's, I think he's 24, he's planning a church with his friend. And he says, yeah, have you done anything with Periscope? And I was like, yeah, I've done some stuff with Periscope. I mean, I'm not a heavy Periscope user, but I go, I really like it. And he says, yeah, you know, we started using Periscope for our services and we have like 200 people who watch our services.
Yeah.
200 people at real time. And I said, dude, I don't care what you're doing. You need to embrace that, man. Like, I don't get 200 people when I messed around on Periscope, me myself, cause I don't use it enough, but like you do. And like, you know, I don't even think he had like 10 people coming to his church yet. And you know what I mean? You're kind of like, okay, dude, embrace that. And I talked to him about GoPro integrates with Periscope. Maybe you could up the quality. Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could, you know, like, and so part of it is adapting to whatever you're at. And that's so helpful to figuring out where you need to go. But the first step is just getting your hands dirty and just getting in there and messing around. So
And there's just no one exact perfect system. And so we're not going to be able to lay that out for you. I mean, I could tell you some of the things we do at CBC, but the truth is by the time this podcast comes out, that will probably change. And the podcast will come out this next Wednesday. We're just constantly adapting to the new platforms. I think Periscope is a very simple, easy way to do a Facebook Live, because Facebook Live, then it's live and then it's on demand immediately afterwards too. So that's huge. Let's get into politics. I've been avoiding it because it's a tense subject. Even in this podcast, I'm like, I hope Jay doesn't say something that's going to be trouble. So we, you know, my church, if I'm honest about politics, my pastor 4 years ago got in a lot of trouble, even in the news media, because he made one statement on Facebook that was perceived differently than the way he meant to say it. And literally within 30 minutes of the post being live on Facebook, a news truck was in our church parking lot and he wasn't there and they thought he was avoiding them. And then that was in the news. It's such a sensitive topic. And right now, if I even say the name Donald Trump, it's like, you know, like that just is so polarizing. you know, or if you were to say anything about Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or whoever the politician is in the midst of this political season. And as pastors, it's a delicate line. I mean, I think I wouldn't say it's black and white. It's you've got to be careful from the pulpit, but we have a new pulpit now in social media. So not every pastor has a Twitter account, but we pretty much all have a platform. And how do we navigate that in our churches? I mean, how do we navigate social media, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you have to, I mean, obviously churches that are incorporated churches through the government, obviously you can't directly rally for a candidate. So that's part of that reason why churches get
but,
in.
But some do, right? I mean,
yeah, some do. About the
Pastor First Baptist Dallas getting behind. I don't remember who he's behind, but I remember him getting behind a candidate.
And, yeah, I mean, in all reality, the IRS and the government is not going to, at this moment, I mean, probably not now. I mean, at one point it will, but most candidates, because if the IRS does it or if the government does it, it looks like that party who's in the White House is trying to push it. So it's just, it's messy water. I mean, most likely it won't happen, but it's probably fair that you got to be careful. And that's why, you know, obviously I think rallying around issues is probably where, you know, for a church, if you want to just talk about, you know, vote by, you know, who's pro-abortion, who's anti, or I saw, and I know you're going to bring up Max Lucado. I saw another article by, Alistair Begg, and he was talking.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
He's a pastor. He's a Scottish pastor that, anyways, he's a great guy. He has a radio ministry and, I've seen him a couple times. He came to my seminary a couple times, but, he's on a local radio here as well. But he did something about, you know, voting for the humble guy, and it felt pretty targeted towards Trump. Like, don't vote for Trump, you know, his attitude.
Yep.
And it is so messy. It's a weird world. I definitely think, you know, there's definitely a couple movements. I think social media is one of the reasons why we're in this current situation. You know, Trump is purposely avoiding the media. I mean, I was watching yesterday, he's sitting there in front of a live audience and he's like, and he says verbatim, I think the media are the worst people that I know. Like, they're scum. And he's like calling them out. And part of it is because he's bought his own campaign and he's using social media. And like, Romney is talking and Trump is tweeting. So Romney came out, you know, the Republican candidate, 4 years ago and who lost to President Obama. And Trump he's not going to the media. He's sitting there and tweeting responses. And I think it's just it's such a crazy culture. It's the same type. And I think this is where social media has just pushed the paradigm. Sports, it's the same thing. Yep. It's what, like, I was hearing this conversation yesterday about, like, what are sports shows on TV supposed to be about? Because no longer are they breaking news. Right. The news is happening on Twitter. What happens? And so, like, one of the things they joked about is that, like, to see that you're an insider is that if you're on live TV looking at your phone, and some of them still use Blackberries, that if you're looking on your Blackberries or your iPhone real time, like, you look like an insider. And it's because, and this is where Trump has just rode this wave, is that he's just using his own fan base. And obviously they've built up over, but I think it's such a messy, I think focusing on issues, focusing on what people are really saying, you know, not getting swooned by somebody's appeal. But I think churches got to be careful. And, but I think there's a way to navigate it wisely. So what are some of your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I'm getting, you know, to the point where as I watch these debates, I have a very real opinion about this. Yeah. And I honestly want to share it, you know. I'm not going to share it here, you know, and I'm not going to share it honestly on my social media platforms. But it's so delicate because I shared my opinion even with my mom the other day and she was offended. And so even with family, politics can be, you know, such a sensitive subject. And we, you know, as a church, you know, and as church leaders, want our churches to be a place that everyone feels welcomed. And by even standing behind a candidate, you can often make people perceive that they're not welcome if they have a differing opinion.
Yeah.
And so Max Lucado just put out the article and really directly I don't know if attacked is the right word, but went after Donald Trump, you know, and said that he Trump is offensive. And, and that's a bold thing for someone like Max Lucado, who I would say as a leader, I've never heard of Max, and I'm from San Antonio. I've been around Max a lot. I've never seen him say anything negative about anybody.
Yeah.
He's a very positive, welcoming, you know, warm. He's like your dad, you know, you read his books or you see him online. You're like, oh, thanks dad. You know, that was a nice, you know, encouraging article. And this was not that, this was a very direct, clear, here's how I feel post. And he felt so convicted to share that. And then my pastor shared it, you know, and I was like, oh no, we're going to get in trouble for even sharing that.
Yeah.
And now Max did it in a way that I would say he was very articulate. He was very careful in the way he worded some things, but it was honest. And so I think careful is the right word. And as we navigate politics, I would love, you know, we've got several people that are in, that are watching here live. I'd love for you guys to share your opinions or on social media, using the hashtag SMC podcast, what you think, what your feelings are about social media and politics for pastors and how they should address it. So my thought is, though, is we don't, you know, I mean, I hate to say that we don't, we just don't address politics publicly, other than encouraging our congregants to be proactive and encouraging our congregants, to vote, you know, be a part of the process. I just don't think that we have a place in that. Now I do think though, we do have a role in how we encourage them to be proactive, because I think by our congregants, you know, what they say on social media can be very divisive within our congregation. And that's where I'm seeing the poison right now, is I see people at my church saying, if you vote for this person, you're an idiot, like direct, you know? Yeah. And then I see the comments and the flows and I'm like, wow, I see divisions happening right now on Facebook in our church over this election. How do we pastor our people more effectively around this?
Yeah, and I think what pastors have to remember, people on staff, is that most of the time, the way people vote is either some kind of family heritage and or some particular issue that's very important to them individually. So it's not just like they're voting for Bernie Sanders. It's, you know, maybe they had something in their past that very much like they, you know, they were helped in a way by something, by some of his philosophy. The same way that if Trump says, you know, we're going to build a wall, and he kind of insinuates that all, you know, Hispanics or, you know, are all Mexicans or something, and maybe they have a wife or a spouse or a cousin, and so that is Hispanic or Mexican, and so to them it's not necessarily a, you know, for me, I very much want to vote naturally by my ideology or whatever, like you know, if it's less government or more government, you know, I'm a less government guy, you know, but to be honest, I don't like Trump, so I don't really care. I mean, that's it. But it's most people don't vote that way. Most people are voting from the, I really like this, and it's because something in their family. So like my family, most of my family is very conservative in their politics, but even internally, I know a lot of them like Trump. And so I've gotten in arguments over, you know, why I think, you know, personally, I think why I think Trump might be messing up, you know, politics for the Republicans.
You're coming out right now, Jay, on the podcast.
Millennials. No, but Trump is such a guy who's above politics now that he's transcended. So it's like, you know, it's like, well, Rubio might be a better guy or whatever. And it's like talking about this, it's like you can be calm about it. But I know if somebody came to me and it's like, I really love Bernie Sanders and, oh, I really love Hillary. And they come to me, most likely I don't start with, you're an idiot. You know, I'm like, I, you know what I mean? I want to know, like, so why do you think that? Or, and so most likely there's a story and there's, you know, most people are very intelligent people and come to conclusions that, you know, and so part of that is that idea of changing someone's mind. How do you undo someone's mind? It's, and this is just, this comes with Jesus. This comes with politics. This comes with anything in life. You have to know people want to be heard. They want to be known. And you got to say it in love. I mean, hey, that's something Jesus said. So you got to undo the authority, undo the logic, and undo the experiences that have solidified the previous two. And part of that is understand where people are at. And so even you could disagree with somebody,
yes,
and you can still love them and engage them. I mean, you know, it's crazy that there has to be so much fighting, because it's, and that's where it gets really messy. It's like, you have to believe this. And it's like, hey, the same way we talk to people that are Muslims, the same way we talk to people at Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or whatever other religion or faith, Buddhist, whatever, we have to interact. We should, Christians, unfortunately, sometimes are pretty good at that and really bad at talking to people of different parties. And it's right. Like, Christians are in the Democratic Party. They're in the Republican Party. They're in the Libertarian Party. They're in, you know, whatever other party exists, the Whig Party. I don't know. And so you have to understand that, you know, our church is going to be full of all types of people. In that statement, you got to make sure that it doesn't throw people out of church, because it is, you would hate for somebody to stop attending a church because you thought you needed to endorse somebody. I mean, if they want to come up privately, talk to them, but just make it very clear. I wouldn't share this. It's the same way that, I might really dislike a person, and I might really dislike Trump. But
yep.
I think if somebody wanted to vote for Trump, I understand why they're frustrated and they might like him. There's yep. I see some good in that. And so that's part of that, is that conversation in a tone of love and meeting people where they're at. So it's hard and it's messy, and I might get some bad tweets from this.
Well, we're having a good dialogue in the chat here. Yeah. But those that are on with us live, Alec had a good quote here. I'd say, even in social media, we need to show love for all people. Mm-hmm. I would add to that, especially in social media, we need to show love for all people. I mean, I think about, if we were to share a faith the way that we share about politics, is it would almost be like, hey, you idiots that don't believe in Jesus, you need to go love Jesus, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense? That's how it would come across. Nobody's going to love Jesus because we called them a bunch of idiots. And unless they believe in Jesus, they're not an idiot. We show them love, you know, we care about them. We get to know them. And so if you have an opinion in politics, to getting your point across is to not start condemning and arguing with a bunch of people, just like in our faith. And so I think we, though, as believers, I think need to love. And I think we need to just be open in some conversations and be careful. I posted, you know, a couple of years ago, I don't know how long ago, it was when Chick-fil-A was going through everything. My brother-in-law works for Chick-fil-A. I posted something like, I support Chick-fil-A in this situation. And an old high school buddy sent me a private message on Facebook and said, hey, bro, I'm sure your intentions are good. I like the stuff you post on Facebook. But my sister is homosexual, and that is deeply offensive.
Yeah.
That you even posted that. And I didn't even think about the repercussions of one post that I thought was supporting. And 99% of my friends probably were good with it, but knowing that I offended that one person, and I really caused damage to that old relationship by doing that. We just have to be careful. I think we've got to, you know, Alec had another quote on here. We have to embrace the tension in the conversation with love. And I think if we navigate it with that perception and we encourage, I mean, I think our pastors' roles are to lead our congregation, to lead with love. And I think if we do that, we're going to have differing opinions, and that's okay. And we got to be good with that.
And the bottom line, and this is something that has been a struggle for, I mean, since the beginning of time, honestly, that every view has ultimately, language is limiting, and every view has its liberal, conservative, and, you know, fundamentalist, whatever you want, you know, moderate, you know, kind of sphere. So it's the same thing with Christianity. There's some people that say they're Christians, but they might do all these things in their life, and they're clearly liberal Christians. And I mean liberal not in the political way of using liberal. I just mean that, you know, they have walked away from what the author's intent, and it's more what they interpret. The same way fundamentalists, you know, fundamentalists might be this way, you know, moderates might be this way. The same thing with being a Republican and being a Democrat. There are various, and so I think, and this is to be true over and over, I think way more of the country agrees on more than disagrees.
Yeah.
And at the bottom line, we all want to have a great country in America, specifically for those who are listening internationally. We America wants to have a great country.
Yeah.
We all want to have leaders that we trust and we relate to, that have our values in some way, and we want them to protect. And so every political candidate has traits about them that is appealing.
Yep.
They do. It's just, how do you find the best? And that's the hardest part is, okay, I really like this about Hillary. I really like this about Bernie. Bernie Sanders is doing some amazing things. He's super relatable. I really like this about Rubio. I really love Ted Cruz's hair. It just looks perfect. I really like this about Trump. And so part of it is we're never going to have the perfect candidate because we have to elect a human. So obviously, you know, Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne here. So we have to figure out an in-between. And that's been, you know, that's the hardest part. But Language is limiting. And when you hear somebody, and this is just going to happen, this happens all the time. People identify as, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. They have whatever it is. And it's like, you have to, before you start, like that starts dinging things in your head, you have to figure out, what does that mean to them? Because most likely, it doesn't mean the same things you're immediately jumping to. So if you see a Democrat, you're thinking, oh man, they're pro-abortion. Whoa, wait. I know Democrats that are against abortion, but they want the government to help out in some of these areas. The same way I know Republicans that are, you know, not, you know, you say Republican, you might be anti-immigrant. No. And so it's figuring, language is limiting. You got to figure out what people actually believe. So before you see that title, the same way if somebody finds out you're a Christian, you don't want them to treat, you know, I was at my wedding yesterday and I did this wedding and
It was my first wedding. On doing your first wedding as a pastor.
It was super fun. It was for my wife's sister. I had a lot of fun. It was a big party. It was fun. But afterwards, I had family members. You know, if anybody knows me, I'm super kickback and, you know, whatever. But I had people like, Pastor, great message. Minister, great.
I'm going to stop you again, though. You say you're kickback. To most people, that means they're drinking. You don't drink alcohol. Let's put that out there. That's part of the rules.
If you're watching on our Apple TV app, this is cold brew coffee. Alec, this is the last bit of your being. So thank you very much.
So you're laid back. You're not a kickback.
I'm laid back.
Careful. Okay. But continue.
So there's one, a cousin came up. One of my wife's cousins came up and said, called me Padre.
Padre.
Hey, Padre. Now, again, to his background, when he sees a religious figure, it's like Padre Father.
Yep.
I know people calling me Father are most likely Catholic from their background. And so it's just language is so limiting and you got to meet people where they're at. Don't make it about the party. Make it about, find out why they believe that. Anyways, I could talk about this, right? This is such a, I wish we could, and I love what Alec said, you know, live in the tension. I wish we can have more open conversations because I think there's a lot of good reasons to be on both sides.
Yep.
And it's figuring out. And that's why I think more and more people under 30 are going the libertarian or the moderate way because it's just, it's easier because it's like, I don't like all that. I don't like, if I'm registered a Republican, it's like, well, I don't want to be aligned with all this, or if I'm it's so messy. And that's why I think the moderate category, it's just going to grow so much in the next 10 years.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. My last point of encouragement is that as Christians, we can't just sit back and say, God's got it. It's going to, you know, whatever happens. We have to be proactive. We need to understand what it is that we believe, where it aligns with the Bible. And vote. You know, we have a responsibility to be active citizens in our country. And you know, as people listen to this outside of our country, you know, their countries, they need to be active in their, you know, and their governments or how it is that they're involved. We're in a political climate season here in America, and so I think we need to actively push the conversation. We don't need to actively push our opinions though, and I think that's where we've got to be careful. We've got to love, and we've got to encourage our congregants to love. And to be good citizens and to become educated and vote in an educated way. And so I think it's a careful, you know, tension. We've got to balance, but a critically important one. So I hope if you're a pastor listening to this, that you found encouragement. If you have differing opinions, we want this to be a dialogue and a conversation. So share that on Twitter using the hashtag SMC Podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.